think this has been a long journey, and it's more than time now to get to work on something. We're 3 years after Sally. Understandably, we've waited on FEMA, and we've gone back and forth. We continue to have those conversations, but my confidence is waning in that being a solution anytime soon. And I just think the citizen deserves some improvement there. And
it's been too long since Sally. FEMA, God knows what their timetable is, but let's go. Let's go. Let's get this fixed. Let's find the funding somehow or other. We just can't wait forever and keep blaming it on FEMA. I appreciate that attitude because I know it's frustrating, but there it is. And especially with all the stuff that's going to come with the Chappie James Monument and all of that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, that was his voice you heard a moment ago. You'll hear his voice here in a second when we welcome him back to the Pensacola Morning News. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you guys so much. Good morning.
So just tired of waiting, and you don't know what's going to happen eventually. That's where we're at?
Yeah, and again, we're talking 3 years this month since there's been damage to the seawall, to really the park as a whole. I mean, it really needed some great improvement. And it's time for us to start saying, hey, we can't just keep going back and say, hey, well, what about the hurricane? If FEMA's not cooperating to the level that we want, and they're talking about fractions of dollars of what we've requested, it's time to move forward. And it's time to figure out other revenue streams. And I feel like that's why I'm here, is to say, you know, then we'll shake the whatever tree we need to get this thing funded. And if we're not going to just sit back and hope that we're going to have a crazy about face with a federal organization that's taken 3 years to this point. So
yeah, it's frustrating that they're not even holding out the carrot that when eventually comes, it'll be full payment.
Correct.
Wow.
We're talking about a fractional payment, and we're talking about a timeline of into the ether. You know, we have no idea, when that would even be. And certainly, if we were to contest anything and moving forward, that would be another 6 months or another year. And so you see, it's a never ending cycle that we'll just be sitting here two more years from now, wondering what FEMA is going to do or going to determine. So we'll continue to work with them. If there are dollars to be had, don't get me wrong, certainly we're going to go after those, but we cannot paralyze ourselves anymore. Wayside Park is in disrepair. We have the improvements that we've already discussed, you know, the graffiti bridge chimes, the trestle walkthroughs. So all those things need to get moving. And, you know, I don't have enough patience to just, you know, sit around for another couple of years to get fractional dollars to find ourselves right back in the same position. It's just time to get going.
I'm just amazed that FEMA has promised full value replacement cost on the old bridge that's the fishing pier, and they're not biting on the seawall and the handrails that were wiped out by the barge. Like, it's baffling to me. I guess one question I have is, I know your attitude on all of the things related to city facilities and infrastructure is, you know, always ask the hard questions in the beginning so you don't have to answer the hard questions later on. So here's, I don't know what you've considered here, but are you going to then look at maybe not fully restoring Wayside Park, but doing what needs to be done and then asking the question, if we're having to build this from scratch, as we are having to rebuild this from scratch on our dime, does it make sense to do it this way or does it make sense to do it some other way?
I would say on the north half, when you talk about the boat launch and the graffiti bridge, yes, we're going to redo the curb there so we can get the chimes underneath. Though you will see some changes that will be different than what you see now on the north side. Now, what I would say normally is, if we're going to go chase dollars for Wayside Park itself, or I'm talking about kind of south of the entrance towards the bridge. If we were going to, normally, I would say, okay, well, if we got to go get the money to do this, let's look at opportunities to if there are needs for change there. But I would say, given the budget constraints, what you would likely see in a best case scenario for us is get the trestle done, get the chimes done, get that boat launch repaved the right way. It doesn't look very good. And then on Wayside Park, we would probably just return it to its form.
I was not clear. I'm sorry. Would you consider doing less? Does it justify even restoring it to its former glory is kind of what I was getting at.
Well, here's what I would say. Perhaps not, but I don't think that the great expense that we're going to be dealing with is going to be those picnic pavilions or the paving,
okay,
to be honest with you. And
okay,
look, you know, the county, I've met with Wes, they're spending $20 million on a fishing bridge that would be back in, you know, in service.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of cost savings there, but the important point is we're going to go ahead and move with the changes that really aren't affected by the compromised seawall. But I think any improvements to the south end are going to be impacted, but potentially if we were to put them in place without the seawall in place.
Okay.
So it's kind of like those two are married together, the seawall and the rest of the park, where the north, things on the more northern side, we can probably start to make some improvements there without having to get that seawall funding. So so that's how we'll probably phase it, is just looking at the kind of the north side versus the south. But we want it to be one complete thought, and that's why we're moving ahead with these dollars. We've talked with FDOT. We talked with some other folks about some potential funding sources. And, you know, that's just where we are. But actually, you kind of accidentally hit on it. I mean, our issue is FEMA's pointing at Skanska. Skanska's pointing at FEMA. It's a barge. Was it the hurricane? You know, and so we are just mired in a who's on first situation that could potentially take additional years of time.
Well, I can just solve it for you. Who is on first and Skansas to blame? We're talking to DC Reeves. He is the mayor of Pensacola. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Haha, TV jokes. As we were they movies? Who's on first?
Abbott and Costello?
Yeah. Was that radio? Yeah, I guess it would have been. Sorry.
Anyway. Know your genre.
Oh, look at me. Okay, road is cleared at Blue Angel and Softly Field, but still blocked southbound on 90 in Blue Angel. Davis Highway and Berg Street in front of West Florida HCA Hospital showing an accident, but someone called and said one car is in the median, one's off to the side, so slow but not stopped. Front gate of Pensacola Naval Air Station backed up to Sunset. Highway 90 and Airport in Milton. This is west of 87, blocked in both directions on 90, and a little slow I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest through Carson City. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It was TV. I looked it up.
Sure. Seven,
DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. We have a kind of a big deal because it's the first competition in which American Magic is going to be flying the Pensacola sail as it competes on Friday, right?
Absolutely, and I said it's our home team.
Yeah,
its first legitimate competition over in Barcelona. So I know there's a big watch party. We've shared at City Seville Quarter at 9 a.m. Bright and early for a sailing race on Friday. They actually had their first official practice on Thursday. But it's interesting. Of course, the America's Cup itself is next year, but it's interesting in that this is really the first time each nation or each team from seven different countries are all going against each other, the same captains, the same crew, and all of that. So this is a good little barometer. It'd be kind of like a preview for the Super Bowl. If they had to play an exhibition and practice, that's what this is. It doesn't really count for anything.
It's a seven-man scrimmage.
You don't want to finish last. Yeah.
It's a seven-man scrimmage for football. Yeah, no, but I mean, it's cool. It's,
correct,
and it's just neat.
Correct.
And it's just neat to see the American Magic, you know, flying their sail and have our name on it. That's good. Hey, I did want to ask you, the Malcolm Young Gym, okay, I understood your explanation that it's going to be plus a million just to make it usable. That doesn't count making it actually worth using. And so you're going to demolish it, which, of course, is going to entail costs and, you know, the contamination kind of concerns. But your idea is then to find somebody to build affordable housing on the lot. Is that the idea? And I mean, is that kind of where you're going with this?
We're reviewing basically what can go there right now with our housing and our planning department. If a private owner came to us and said we wanted to build housing there, how many lots, how many buildings, et cetera. So we're doing that analysis now. I'm really looking for a workforce option. I think with the motor lodge, we're looking at a 60% AMI kind of homeless transitional pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
This, in my mind, would be a good workforce housing program. I'm thinking police, fire, nurses, teachers, you know, those frontline worker type workforce housing. And we'll see what can go there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll be honest with you, in a year of this job, one of the more deflating things is the condition of the things that we own. I mean,
I can believe
it. We talk about Bay Bluffs Park. That's another tough decision we've got coming, which is maybe a seven-figure fix just for the decking that goes down to on Bay Bluffs Park.
Really?
Right now. I mean, so that's and no one no one signs up to be mayor to shut things down, you know, or
right.
get rid of them. That's not what you want to do, but sometimes it's what you have to do. And so, yeah, we continue to have things. And again, that's not any one mayor or one administration. I mean, these are things that,
right.
that have aged over time, but it's without having some care in place, and some preventative maintenance in place that we certainly are going to be doing for whoever there's a mayor after me 20 years from now. I hope that they aren't in the same situation that I'm in.
Well, you know, when we celebrate the buildings and the ribbon cuttings and the exciting reward it is to spend money to create a new thing and don't honestly budget for the maintenance and repair over time, you know, somebody's got to be the adult. Just, you know, that's sad but true, unfortunately.
Right.
Hey, somebody texted in just a quick question. Have either Senators Rubio or Rick Scott or Congressman Gates – have they been helpful at all in trying to get like the FEMA money for the Wayside Park? It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, we haven't gone. What I'd say is everyone has been helpful when we've called upon them. Probably a lot of those conversations were before my administration. I think we've been kind of on this road of inactivity for quite a while now. This is new news in the last 30 days.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, you know, it's not a large enough dollar figure bullet to use, so to speak, you know, and so FEMA kind of is its own animal. That it's not as easy as it would sound for just someone to make a phone call,
sure.
And get that to change. So it's probably not worth the squeeze, so to speak. So it's not because they haven't been helpful. It's that where I'd rather them be helpful is on some of these alternative revenue streams. And I know that they would be, and certainly at the state level.
Okay.
Right. That's what I'm really looking at.
I got you. Save your powder. Use it when it's appropriate. We always like to end with the lightning round. So the first one, I know this is a little hard one to come up on the spur of the moment, but I hope you can. What's the weirdest food combo that you love?
Oh, man, that is a hard one. What is yours?
Well, I talked about putting cucumbers on a street taco. That surprised me a little bit. A lot of people are big on the pickle and peanut butter sandwiches. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'm too. You know what? This is a non-answer, but I'm too picky of an eater to be adventurous enough to try
gotcha.
Something new.
So, all right, fair enough.
That's my way to shove that answer off.
I got you. Do you have a favorite fiction book? Maybe it's one from when you were younger. You know, I mean, I know you're young, but when you were younger.
You know, I used to read all the Goosebumps.
R.L. Stein, you know. Way to go. Very cool.
Unless those are nonfiction, then I'd be very concerned.
You say they're fiction, but, and then the last one is
right.
On the daily, do you make your bed, have to make your bed, or are you I don't care, doesn't matter.
I give forth good spirit and effort to do it every day. And that's what I would say.
I don't make my bed, but I feel guilty about it. Is that where you're at?
Yeah. Right. Like mentally, I have thought about it, and then I may or may not actually do it. But
I love it.
You know, so I'm inconsistent but willing. Okay.
That's a good life philosophy, though. DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We look forward to the city council meeting on Thursday and talking to you again next week, sir.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much.